Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sport of Kings podcast. On this pod, we discuss the late pick five at Churchill Downs on this Saturday, Kentucky Derby Day, May 7th, 2022. This is show number 172, May 6th, 2022. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, it's finally here.
Yeah, finally here. We look forward to this weekend all year long, especially throughout the spring. And now we're just a day away from the Derby, and we're in the middle of the Oaks card. So, yeah, this is about as good as it gets when you're a racing fan. Let's just hope the weather continues to cooperate.
Play in the Sport of Kings NHC qualifier starting every month. Each month, the top 50 players who are NHC Tour members advance to Round 2, which is Breeders' Cup weekend. In that final, 450 players will duke it out, playing all 14 Breeders' Cup races. Two people will win a seat to the NHC, and the top 100 will get Tour points. Join the NHC Tour before any monthly Round 1 begins. If you join the Tour, you could win up to 20 seats to the NHC in free contests. For only $50, it's the best deal in racing. If you sign up for the Tour, use promo code SPORTOFKINGS so we get credit. If you haven't signed up for our free contest with free DRFPPs, go to sportofkings.net right now. Thank you and good luck. And we have a special returning guest. He's an author, handicapper, and the creator of the most well-known speed figures in racing. He's inspired millions of horse players over the years through his books and columns in the Washington Post. He's Andy Beyer. Andy, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. I hope we have some inspiring opinions today.
I hope we do, too. And before we get started, I wanted to ask you, like, how's your handicapping been going lately? Are you doing well? Are you hot, cold?
The game is just getting tougher than ever. And, you know, in the last year, there have been a lot of tracks where the timing system is very suspect, and it's pretty hard for a speed oriented guy, you know, to be dealing with situations where you're not sure that the data is accurate. So I gotta say that's got me psyched out a little bit, but it's a real fact of life.
Well, we kind of count on Craig Milkowski to get those timing issues fixed. Bless him for taking that responsibility.
Yes, no, he's. He was in the forefront of kind of seeing some of the problems in the industry, and he is an indefatigable guy. So I'm, there are just so many tracks with issues that you can't cover everything.
Chris, did you have any questions for Andy before we get started on this late pick five at Churchill?
No, just want to thank him for joining us, and I'm just hoping at some point in the show we'll run across some horse and he'll say that horse has no shot.
Okay.
I don't know. There might not be too many. Actually, there's probably a few in the Derby, actually. But the other races, I don't know about that. Okay, well, we'll start with the eighth race at Churchill Downs on Saturday. It's the Derby City Distaff, a grade one, 7 furlongs on the dirt, purse of $750,000 for fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up. And Andy is our guest. We'd love to have you go first.
Well, pace is going to be a key in this race. I mean, you have two horses in here coming out of a speed duel in the Madison Stakes at Keeneland, and it was a real battle. I mean, Lady Rocket and Kamani went a half and 44.5. I mean, on the same card, you had males, you know, with the very fast Nashville setting the pace in slower time than that. So these horses both dueled and then faded. I don't know if the same thing is going to happen today, but I think that Kamari has shown the ability to stalk and sit a couple lengths off the pace. So I lean a little in that direction, but for pick five purposes, I'd use both, the one Lady Rocket and the four Kamari, and then if they get into another suicide duel, I'd want a closer on the ticket, so I'd include number five obligatory. I know that sounds a little wimpy, but this is a tough race to start the sequence.
Okay, I have some news on the pace front. Lady Rocket is a scratch.
Ooh.
And I got that via time form when they showed the horse's scratch. And then I did a little search, and the owners tweeted out that she's going to go in New York tomorrow. I mean, Sunday.
Really? Okay. Well, definitely. Thanks for the info. Definitely give an edge to Kamari there. I think I'd still have a little protection with obligatory, but that really changes the outlook.
All right, Chris, what did you think about this race?
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt Andy, but I was going to tell him that the one had scratched. I had seen that as well, and to me, that's an absolutely critical part of the race for me. I really like the 7-horse Edgeway. I agree that Kamari is really not a speed horse. I'm not sure what got into Tyler Gaffleone in that last race. That seemed like uncharacteristic for that horse to be, battling on the front end like that. Never had done that before, or at least not in recent times. So I do expect a change in tactics. And for me, that means that it really opens it up for Edgeway to sort of be the controlling speed through the nice outside post. Donnie Velasquez is riding. And if you look at this horse's form, she's never been passed when she's gotten the lead in a race, except for once on a sloppy track. So on a fast track, 7 times she's gotten to the front and she's never had a horse pass her. And that was in some good company. So to me, she is going to be on the lead, and hopefully that will become an 8-for-8 stat. She's also been training really well. So I like her quite a bit in here with that scratch of Lady Rocket. With Lady Rocket in here, then it would have been a little tougher for her to get the lead. But I think a change in tactics with Kamari Rosario on board this time, he has a tendency to like to drop back. And if he does that, I think Edgeway will be really tough.
Okay. Well, I actually like both of your gentlemen's horses, Edgeway and Kamari. I think this race is wide open, and I've decided that because I thought they all had a shot, just about all of them, to go with the longest price of the ones that could win. And that's why I'm landing on Center Isle, and we'll definitely be including her if I use her in the pick five. I mean, if I play the pick five, if you toss her last race, the race before that, she dueled for a pretty serious amount of time and won the race, earned a number that fits with these. And in her last, she hopped and never took to the mud. So in her good race, she beat Frank's Roquette, who was a heavy favorite. The buyer she earned could be enough to win here. So I would definitely use her, but I would also use Kamari Edgeway. And yes, Andy, I'm also afraid of obligatory. I know it's kind of wimpy, but
you know, she's a fresh 4-year-old and she looked really good in her last race. And if you have anything additional, Andy,
I think we've covered it. But as I say, with the scratch of Lady Rocket, I mean, I think that Kamari's got enough speed to be as close as they want to, the other speeds, and has proved that she can stalk and finish. So that's my that's my top choice.
How do you two perceive Just One Time, who's going to take some money and, ran a pretty good race last race? Does she react off that mud win, or is she also a competitor here that you have to use?
Well, I'm always afraid of Brad Cox, but she had the pace set up last time, and it was a day at Keeneland when no front runner won. So I'm going to grit my teeth and leave Brad Cox off the ticket. This Brad Cox off the ticket.
Okay, Chris, do you feel the same way?
On a fast track, I sort of do agree. She tripped out last time. She does run really well on a sloppy track. So it's looking like the forecast is pretty good for Saturday, but you never know at Churchill. So if somehow the track came up sloppy, then I would have to move her up. But on a fast track, I kind of agree. You can't, I mean, unless you want to play them all, you got to take a stand, and that one's going to take some money. So I don't think it's any more likely to win than any of the others.
Okay, well, that is an opinion, since that horse will take quite a bit of money. So we'll take that as one of our stronger opinions. And we'll move to the ninth race, which is the American Turf, a Grade 2 mile and 16th on turf, purse of $500,000 for 3-year-olds. And Chris, why don't you get us started this time?
Yeah, this is another, and these turf routes tend to be all about trips, and the horse that gets the right trip wins. The favorites, you can make a case for them. I'm always looking for a price. I landed on the 11 Doagic Chief. That horse, it's another one. If you look at its form, when it can get the lead, it's really tough. And especially on the turf, that last race was on synth. It did get the lead, but that race had a very fast pace. It really fell apart late. And only one horse did any running late, and that was this horse, Doagic Chief. So even though it looks like, beaten 6 lengths, run fourth, that wasn't a very good race. I thought it was a good race. And if you look back at the turf races, when this horse is able to get the lead, it usually wins, and it'll be a really big price in here. There are a couple other horses with some speed, including two of the favorites, but I think those favorites also have shown the ability to stalk, and they'll probably be, there's a good chance, especially on the turf, they'll be patient. And I think they're going to have to send the 11 from the outside. So horse could be on the lead, and in that spot, it's been very dangerous in the past, and at a big price, I'm interested on the 11.
Okay, Doagic Chief. Part of a potential speed brigade, but as you said, maybe it won't transpire that way. Andy, what did you think?
Well, this is a type of race. I mean, 3-year-olds on the turf, where I never seem to pick a winner. I'm certainly going to spread out in this race in a pick five. My numbers would be the number 5 Balnikov, number 6 Portfolio Company, number 7 Size Dog, and your Doagic Chief, number 11. I think Side Dog, despite the light figures, is a pretty formidable horse here. I mean, he found himself in a race last time with with no speed. You know, the other mile, the 16th race on that card, you know, for lifetime non-winners at two, you know, it went went a half and 48. I mean, a half and 50, and he's toward the back of the field and you know, rallies, you know, strongly to win. I mean, the horse he beat, Grand Sonata, is a Pletcher horse who'd won a Grade 3 stakes. So I give a little edge to Psy Dog, but I'm not going to get too bold in here.
Okay, well, I thought this race, any horse could possibly win this race. I wouldn't toss any race, any horse, and because of that, I decided to go with to certainly use the closers who are the best prices. So the first horse that I'm on is Red Run. He's as fast as these. If you toss the last on synthetic on turf, he's 15-1. The one thing I haven't done is analyze the pace of that race, because it does look like it had a very hot pace. Maybe this one will have a hot pace too. I don't know if that helped him out or not. I haven't checked the other races on the card, but I'm interested in him. I'm also interested in Smokin' Tea and Stolen Base.
So I have a question for both of you regarding Red Run. Do either of you put any stock in the 0-for-60 streak that Steve Asmussen is on and with horses in Kentucky? Does that mean anything? Is it just coincidental, or is that going to impact the way you look at his horses this weekend?
Well, probably coincidental. I mean, he could, Asmussen can win doing anything, and I think this is probably a fluke, but I do have an we're mentioning Red Run, I do have an observation, and I'm going, I'm not including this horse. That race at Houston was a really hot pace that totally fell apart. I mean, the horses who wound up finishing 1, 2, 3 were running 8th, 7th, and 10th in the early stages of the race. So it was a race for closers, it turned out to be the only time that Red Run has run a good figure. So I'm going to not put him in my mix and pick 5.
All right, putting the kibosh on Red Run, which I appreciate, actually. You know, that if we can find ways to trim this ticket, I'm all for it. Personally, Chris, I think that Steve Asmussen could win the first race, and then he'll be 1-for-61, and his record will still be bad, but he will have just won a race. So I don't worry about it. If anything, he's due.
All right, he's due. I like the old, he's due. I kind of agree that the horses that were in that Houston race, there's several of them in here. To me, I don't like any of them. I think they're a cut below. Maybe they could trip out, but so I'm not on any of those. I do kind of like Smokin' Tea a little, because the trainer McGahee, this horses tend to get better and better with every start. And I think he'll appreciate getting away from Gulfstream. And he draws the rail, so there's a lot to like there. And I, you know, the favorites, Psy Dog, Portfolio Company, even Biliknikov, you know, they all figure there. I don't think there's going to be any value there, but if you're playing the pick 5, it's kind of hard to leave them out. This is sort of a race we've got to spread. But in the vertical plays, I think Doagic Chief is very interesting, and even though it could be a hot pace, the only other really real speed in there are the two horses that are the favorites that I think are going to be reluctant to send early. So that's what I'm counting on in terms of trying to get a price out of this race.
And, you know, Doagic Chief, you know, ran in the aforementioned Houston race and held, you know, under the circumstances, held on pretty well, you know, battling for the lead and losing only 2 lengths. So, you know, while while all the closers were flying past him. So, I mean, that race is a positive in his PPs, I think. So he's a definite use.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Really similar to his last at Turfway, where he was totally against it from a pace standpoint. And he was the only speed horse that really did any running at all late. So, you know, if he can avoid the having that sort of pace in here, he's always run well. So it'll be real interesting to see how the race unfolds early.
Yeah, and I should say that I believe Dowagic Chief is an absolute use. I didn't see any horses that I didn't like, but again, I hadn't done the proper pace analysis on Red Run. I'm going to have to look at that chart to see if I agree with Andy and you, Chris. We'll move to the 10th race. It's the Churchill Downs Stakes, a Grade 1, 7 furlong on dirt, purse of $750,000. This one for 4-year-olds and up. And Andy, what are you thinking here?
Well, I think this is the one race of the five that you can narrow down pretty effectively. Jackie's Warrior is clearly a formidable horse in here. Assuming that there's no curse hanging over Steve Asmussen in Kentucky, and if this horse doesn't run up to his best form, the alternative is Reinvestment Risk, who wasn't able to beat him last year, but ran a pretty honest race in the Carter Handicap against the killer Speaker's Corner. So it's got to be a number 3 Jackie's Warrior, number 5 Reinvestment Risk. I don't want to go any deeper in this race.
Okay, Reinvestment Risk at 7-2. Be interesting to see if he goes off that high, probably because Jackie's Warrior is going to get hammered. Chris, what are you thinking?
Well, and Aloha West is in that race. We'll take some money. So, I think you'll get a decent price. I really liked Reinvestment Risk in his last. We covered that race on our podcast. It had that golden pattern, second off a layoff as a 4-year-old. And he ran a big race. He just ran into a much better horse. I do think that was probably the day to have him. I think he could run well again. I just don't know if he's going to improve off that. I actually thought watching that race that Mind Control, you could argue, ran just as good or better. He didn't have as good of a trip, kind of got shuffled back. And that was off a long layoff. And he's kind of an old warrior I've always liked. To me, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him run pretty well in here. And there's another horse I think is kind of interesting that might get a little bit overlooked. I do think Jackie Swarrier is formidable, but he is a little bit fragile. I mean, he's had races where, when he gets it, things his own way, and it's kind of hard to say he's not in here. He has kind of folded, so I'm always trying to beat him, but from a pace standpoint, I just don't know who's going to go after him early. If somebody does, I think he's definitely vulnerable, but it's hard to see who could apply any pressure to him early. I just don't see it.
Well, I thought this was a pretty tough race as well. And I ended at landing on Reinvestment Risk as my top pick. I think that he's going to be right off of Jackie's Warrior. And I Jackie's Warrior, if you watched that last race, he looked like he was winning it easily. And then all of a sudden Rosario had to go to the whip and finish him off. And I just can't decide whether that was the perfect prep or not. So I'm going to try to somehow use both of them, where I would use Jackie's Warrior, but only with long shots in the other legs. But otherwise, I'm interested in Reinvestment Risk. And, I think that his return race as a 4-year-old was really nice. He reacted in his next race. And if he can get back to that 4-year-old race, that 4-year-old debut, then I think he has a shot. And I think since he is likely to be sitting off Jackie's Warrior. I think he's just got the best chance to put the rest of this field away. So those are my two for now.
Well, I would take exception to the statement that he's going to be sitting right off of Jackie's Warrior. I mean, Jackie's Warrior is a consistent 44 second to the half sprinter everywhere he goes. You know, I mean, reinvestment risk. I mean, last time was the only time he'd ever been on the lead, and that was a half and 46. You know, Jackie's Warrior is certainly going to be clear of him. His reinvestment risk is going to have to do some work to overhaul.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, he's not going to be like right off the flank of Jackie's Warrior, but I do think he'll be sitting second, or at least he's got a good chance to be sitting second. So I think that will give him put him in a good position to win this race.
Yeah, the other horse I like, the one I think that will be sitting second, is the 8-horse Cezanne. It's kind of an interesting horse. I mean, he was like a $3.5 million purchase. He used to be in the Baffert barn. He's been moved to the Pletcher barn. And he's run some good races. He sort of, you know, has classic breeding, and I'm sure they were thinking Triple Crown with this horse, but he's had some physical issues and stuff in it. And I just think it turns out he's better going shorter. He hit the lead last time and got run down late, but I think 7 furlongs may be perfect. I think he has, you know, much more early speed than like Risk Investment does. I don't think he can push Jackie's Warrior. I'd love to see them do that, because then I think Jackie's Warrior is a lot more vulnerable. But I do think he's going to be the one chasing Jackie's Warrior. That's not always a good position to be in, but you know, with a good ride from Flavian Pratt, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him, you know, best the rest of them. And he might be the only one within striking range of Jackie's Warrior when they turn for home. So I think Cezanne and Mind Control, you might get a little value if they bet down Aloha West and Reinvestment Risk.
All right, another tough race, and I do respect Cezanne. Let's go to the 11th race. It's the Turf Classic, a grade one, mile and eighth on turf. Purse of $1 million for four-year-olds and up. And Chris, what are you thinking here?
Well, this is another really tough race. Absolutely wide open. I think you can make a case for many of them, just like we've been saying for every one of these races. I would say the one that I think maybe is slightly the most likely winner, and I don't know what price you'll get on him, is the 8 Adamo. He's one of 3 Chad Brown horses. I thought his last race was pretty good off the layoff. His European form was really good. He actually won 4 straight races at one time in Europe. If the turf course has some give in it, he's proven he can go handle that ground. He's got Flavian Pratt riding. And if you look at it, Pratt's actually ridden all 3 of these Chad Brown horses at one time. So I don't know if he had any choice in the matter, but the fact he's on that horse, I think, is a good sign as well. So my nod in terms of the winner is probably Adamo, but I think you can make a case for several others, and I won't be surprised at all to hear both of you have somebody else that you might make the case for.
Adamo with that magical second race as a 4-year-old. Andy, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking this is a tough race, and I wouldn't throw out Adamo. Another Chad Brown, who's certainly got a big shot in here, is the 4 Trib Heuven, if that's how we pronounce it. I mean, it looks like Chad got a little ambitious toward the end of the year, you know, running this horse at a mile and a half. I mean, his best form was at a mile and an eighth, and you know, that's what he's running today. And the fact that they, off a off a layoff, you know, ship him to Churchill for this race. I think it, you know, is they're serious about this, and I think Chad knows this is where the horse belongs. The other horse in this race, and probably the legit favorite, is the 6 Sherrill's Spite. I mean, that win at Keeneland was a very good one on a couple of levels. It was a slow pace race, and the speed horses in the field wound up finishing 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. I mean, the speed held, and Sherrill's Spite kind of overcame the pace, to get up and win. That was some finish, and it was just a legitimate quality field. I mean, the horse who finished 3rd in there had been narrowly beaten in the Breeders' Cup Mile. So I think Sherrill's Spite has got the class and got the closing kick. So I'd give him a little edge, but this is a kind of race where I would, want as much coverage as I could get.
I like all of your guys' picks. I think they all have a shot. I ended up landing on Ivar. He 2 years ago, he ran 2 really big races in a row right before the Breeders' Cup. Last year when he prepped for the Breeders' Cup, and he ran all right, and I liked him in the Breeders' Cup. He ran pretty big. He ended up 3rd. He's capable of running 2 good races, but instead of running a 2nd race on the turf, he took a layoff. And I think that he's got another big race in him. I think that race can come today. Now, there is a question as to whether he can get the 9 for long distance. He does have a win at a mile and a 16th. And last year he ran in this race and he didn't run well at all. On the other hand, that race was after he had run his 2 big races the previous fall. And, he wasn't ready. Whereas I think that he's ready to run one more big race. And I just kind of feel like he's going to go off a little higher than 4-1. But we'll see. So certainly a use for me, Ivar.
I like Ivar as a horse, but if you look at his, he needs a 2nd off a layoff horse. I mean, his best races are all, he always needs a race. So I'm not sure why this is the time he's going to fire his best shot off the bench. He's never done it before. Why do you think he's going to do it now as a 6-year-old?
That's a really good question. And I think that the trainer's just going to say, hey, I'm going to win 1st off a layoff this time because the horse is ready.
Yeah, he's never gotten him ready off the works for his best. I mean, he hasn't run poorly, but it's just always his better race, his 2nd off a layoff. And like you said, I don't understand them starting him back at a mile and an 8th. He's just seemed like a genuine miler. So seemed like a weird spot to me. I think it's a prep, but we'll see.
And that's another reason why I think he's going to go off a little higher price than 4-1. I think that's what most people are going to think.
Yeah, I think you're right in terms of the price. What about, neither of you mentioned the 10 horse Santine, who is a really nice horse, but tends to always get bet, but certainly fits in here, don't you think?
You know, I'm just not sure, how good that, that Fairgrounds race was. I mean, we've talked about Adano earlier. I mean, Adano, Cavalry Charge, Santine were all close together at the wire. And, and Santine comes out and, gets, runs okay at the Fairgrounds in the grade 2. But I just don't see the level of form. You've got horses here who've run, against Breeders' Cup quality horses. So I just don't think he's good enough.
Yeah, it's interesting how he gets bet. I mean, he's been favored his last two races, and he was stepping up to those. Or, well, I guess he wasn't stepping up from the Hollywood Derby, but you know, people consistently bet him. They really like this horse, and I don't know if he goes off at 6-1. I think he's a use if he, and we, of course, we're not going to know if we play the pick five, but you know, if 6-1, yeah, like he's usable. If he were to get bet again, say 3-1, then I would be shying away from this horse.
Yeah, interesting race, definitely wide open. It's hard to lean heavily on anybody in here.
Okay, the one we've been waiting for, the Kentucky Derby, the 12th race. It's 1.25 miles on dirt, purse of $3 million for 3-year-olds. And Andy, I know you've been talking about this for a couple of days. where are you landing on this one?
Well, this is not surprisingly a tough race, and I find as I look at the kind of the logical horses in this field, I'm just not sure how good they are. I respect Epicenter. I think he's going to be a good horse, maybe a champ down the road. But his two big figures, his last two races, both came with the aid of perfect trips. I mean, Loose on the Lead and the Risen Star, then a perfect rail stocking trip in the Louisiana Derby. I mean, do you want 7-2 in a field of 20 on a horse off of two perfect trips? I don't know. And the other horse who's supposed to take money is Zandon. He's won one stakes race in his life. In his four race career, got a pretty good setup on a track where speed was not doing well at Keeneland. I just don't see him as being that good, and having reservations about most of the public's horses in here. I'm betting White Abario. I think he's as good as anybody. His win in the Holy Bull was an excellent race. I think our figure did not do him justice in that race, because the horses he beat, Simplification and Mo Donegal, both came back to win major stakes races out of that field, and he's I can't knock him. he's going to be 10-1 in here. Do I think he's a cinch? No. I think, to me on his form, he's as good as the favorites, and I think the public is going to overlook him, and that's my play.
Does the closing in nearly 14 seconds, or maybe it was actually 14 seconds?
I think there's something about those fractions that's just looks like an aberration. I talked to my colleague Randy Moss about this, and he said his interpretation of that race was that the fastest 6 furlongs in any prep race was that 1:10 and change in the in the Florida Derby. And so, you know, maybe that just softened everybody up. But I just don't, you know, you look at that, that final 3/8 and 40 seconds, you say, boy, there, you know, the race fell apart. Well, nobody was closing in that field to speak of. And I don't know. I just don't, you know, I don't trust that data. I don't understand it really. But you know, the horse won. He certainly showed in the Holy Bull that he can finish. I mean, he was pulling away from good horses. I just think he's a lot better than people think he is.
And he's 4-for-5. You can't argue with that record. Chris, what are you thinking? Where did you finally land on the Derby?
Before I say that, I just had a question about White of Barrio for Andy. Where do you think he'll be? Where do you hope he'll be in terms of a trip from the 15 pole with kind of having tactical speed? You know, what are you hoping that he gets in terms of a trip?
Everybody sort of asks asks these questions before the Derby, you know, well, how will Epicenter handle the 3-post? You know, we don't know. You know, I mean, White of Barrio, you know, has, you know, he, I mean, he's got speed to, you know, to be sitting within a few lengths of the lead. I mean, he can clearly finish. I mean, I think he's a versatile type of horse, and as with everybody else, I mean, you just have to hope that the trip works out for him. I will say this in sort of referring to pace. I think, you know, after we've had several derbies in a row, you know, dominated by speed horses. In fields where the pace was kind of tepid, I think there's going to be a contentious pace in here. I think they're going to go fast early, so nobody's going to get a soft trip on the front end.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. White of Barrio is a real interesting pick. I think you're going to get some value there. You know, to me, though, from that outside post with sort of the tactical speed he has, I think there's a good chance he could get parked wide on that first turn. I think that's the key. If Gaffney
so could all of them on the outside, and so can horses on the rail get trapped on the inside. We don't know. I mean, I'm just going to hope for the best.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there is always some chaos there. And you're right, probably trying to read too much. Hey, it's a Derby, though. What are you supposed to, like, overanalyze? So where did I land? Well, you know, a month ago, I thought was somewhat contrarian. This was even before the San Diego Derby. I thought Table was the most talented 3-year-old in training. And I picked him to win the Santa Anita Derby, and he exceeded my expectations in that race. To me, he's very justify-like. I get all the anti-Taba opinions, and I'm going to guess, don't know, but based on what Maury Wolf, a common acquaintance we have with Andrew Beyer, who didn't like Taba, Andrew Beyer won't like him either because of that lack of experience. But I just think... yeah, he's the best horse in the race. He's the fastest horse. He's just better than these. I was worried because I didn't know what his health situation was I expected to see 2 workouts before they shipped, and they only had the 1. That made me nervous. I've watched him at Churchill. I like the fact they breezed him once there. I think he looks just as good now as he did before the Santa Anita Derby. So, you know, I think he's the best horse. I think seasoning's overrated in the modern era. None of these horses have much seasoning. You know, he's had 2 races. Most of these have had 3 to 5 races. I don't think that gets him that much more ready than, and yeah, he came out of a small field, but most of these horses, their last prep was with 8 or 9 horses, and even 8 or 9 or 10 or 11 is nothing like the Derby. So none of them are ready for the Derby from that regard. Where they get their foundation is in the mornings. This horse has been in training just as long as any horse in the field. It has just as many workouts as any horse in the field. It has more bullet workouts than any of them, more gate workouts, more 6 furlongs and longer workouts than all the horses or just about all the others. And that's in the Baffert stable where he really works them hard. And those gate works are like 5 and 6 furlongs or like races. So, you know, he's got the same foundation that the rest have, and he's the most talented, and I think he's going to win. And so I've come full circle back to Taba is the one to beat. And given that he's probably only the 3rd or 4th choice in the race, you know, to me, I don't know how you can't, how I can't just focus on him, because there's some value there, I think. And he is sort of a, you know, unlike a few of these others, you know, I think he's going to either run 1st or 2nd or just not run a clunker. And he probably has a higher probability of running a clunker than some of the others. But to me, he's the most likely winner, and his value is the 3rd or 4th choice.
Well, it'll be really interesting to see how they bet it. Taba is the favorite right now, 5-1 on sportofkings.net. I think that, you know, with those speed figures, people aren't going to be able to help themselves, and they're going to bet him. And it wouldn't shock me if he was the favorite. I don't know who's going to be the favorite. I really can't tell. But I'm going to land on Zandon. You know, this race figures to have a solid pace, like we all agree. And Zandon's proven that he can close and navigate traffic. You know, he is light on experience. He does have only 1 stakes win, but wow, that was 1 hell of a stakes win. He won handily. He galloped out big. He's training beautifully. I'm going to kind of zero in on him and make him my strong top play. And I plan on doing a big Oaks Derby double with Zandon. And then I'm going to try to key him on top in the super. So that's the horse I like the most. And I respect Epicenter. I mean, I understand he got pretty easy trips, but you know, he's had 6 weeks to develop. He's got a nice post. He proved that he doesn't have to have a lead, so he should be able to draft in behind the speed brigade. So I those are my top two, and I'll mention some super considerations as we get onto the round robin here.
Well, let me just say about Taba, I agree that the horse is a super talent, and you know, I mean, what he's done in those 2 races is freaky. I mean, and he is potentially so good that his presence in the Derby, you know, makes me mad, because this for most owners would be a once in a lifetime horse, and when you get him, I mean, you want to do you want to manage him in a fashion that lets him just show how good he might be. Give him every chance to, I mean, he's in this race only because of the ego of his billionaire owner, who doesn't have, the patience, to do what's right for the horse. And, I mean, I think that, I mean, when you see horses pushed like this to do too much too soon, their life story usually doesn't have a happy ending. I don't think it's going to work out for Taba. In fact, I found a spot that was that put up a price on the last place finisher in the Kentucky Derby, and I got 50-1 on Tava, so that's my position on him.
Hey, I know a lot of people that wish they could bet the last place horse in the race, so you're gonna have to share where you got that action. The question I would have for you, and I'm completely on the fence. I'm leaning towards tossing Taba for the too much too soon reasons. But is there any evidence that the trainer, either Bob Baffert or Tim Yakteen, disagrees with the move of running him in the Derby? You know, like, are they lukewarm?
Well, the owner said that everybody was trying to talk him out of running in the Santa Anita Derby. I guess when you win that, you know, nowadays when horses qualify, you know, when horses get the points, oh, he's earned his way in, you know, so you got to run. But, you know, there was a day when people said, is my horse ready for the Kentucky Derby, rather than, oh, we're allowed to run, let's go. I think it's imprudent. I mean, Baffert, certainly had, you know, I guess you could say, had success with, you know, kind of, you know, pushing the issue with Justify, who had, it was like the first horse in about 100 years who had not raced at two and managed to win the Derby, and he went on and he, you know, won the Triple Crown. But the bottom line was his career lasted 3.5 months. You know, that's what happens, you know, with horses who, you know, are not handled judiciously. And I do not, you know, I'd love to see Taba, you know, be as good as he can be, but I don't think with this management it's going to happen.
Well, I can't argue with you know, your feeling that they shouldn't push him, but he's in the race. I think he's the best horse, just like Justify. I agree with you. I mean, he was meteoric, but he was the most talented horse in the race. It's hard not to draw a lot of parallels, and, you know, Justify won, and he went on to win the Triple Crown. So
yep.
I don't know why, from a betting standpoint, to me, you know, Taba is, you know, the most likely winner in the race. And I think it's, I can tell you right now, Scott, there's no way Taba is the favorite. It's going to be either Zandon or Epicenter, and between those two, it's whoever Mattress Mack puts his $3 or $4 million on. He says he's going to do it 30 minutes before the race. They're going to be vying for favoritism, and the determining factor will be Mattress Mack. So you got to hope, if you really like Zandon, that he doesn't put his money on Zandon. Because if
have
he
they
does,
shown have they shown the early betting for the Derby yet?
I don't know. I don't usually put much stock into that. I think the first good data point you have are the Will Pays into the double from the Oaks. That early money, a lot of times, can get some really weird stuff in there. But I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. But the morning line on Taba was at 12-1 was ridiculous. I mean, I think Epicenter will be the favorite, and I think he deserves to be the favorite. You know, he won the major stakes in New Orleans. His speed figures are good. I mean, you know, he's consistent. You know, he just has the look of the people's choice to me. But you know, but I don't see anybody being too short a price in here. I just don't know that there's going to be some public groundswell for Zanda, and I'll be surprised.
Yeah, I hope you're right, because, you know, I have a really good future play on Zandon, so I would love to see him win.
Okay.
I wouldn't be betting him at the price he's going to be, just because, you know, like we've talked about. I mean, they all can have bad trips, but it's hard. I don't see how this horse isn't out the back early. And Pratt's a good rider, and I think with the right trip, he could certainly win and the right pace setup. And I totally agree that this is going to be, you know, the fastest pace we've seen in a while, because the summer is tomorrow is really quick. People don't know that, or some people don't know that, but he is really quick, genuine sprinter. He's kind of like a Trini Berg type horse.
Yep.
And, you know, and he drew inside, and Epicenter's right inside of him, I think, going to force Epicenter's hand some. Classic Causeway breaks like a quarter horse every time. There's some other speed on the outside. You know, to me, this will be more like the Derby that I'm used to before the Derby point system, when horses like, you know, Fusaichi Pekasus and Street Sense and Sea Hero and these kind of horses, you know, that Pleasant Colony that could come from, or Secretariat came from dead last. I mean, you could do that because the field was strung out and those horses were, you know, sucking for air when they turn for home. So
yep, this that could big be that eight kind wide of move on the turn. That was how you won the Derby for a long time.
Yeah. So we might actually get a throwback, and for Scott, that's what you're looking for, right? With your kind of horse. We haven't mentioned the other horse, I think, that's a closer with a legitimate shot. That'll be a much better price than Zandon probably. And that's Mo Donegal. Everyone's sort of tossing him because he drew the rail, which I think is silly. Especially with Irad Ortiz riding him. There's no reason why that horse couldn't work a trip just as easily as Zandon from the back. And if they do go fast early and string out, you know, in the Derby, saving ground can be big because there are going to be probably six or eight horses that get parked three or four wide. And, you know, saving that ground means you're saving energy. And if they're strung out, you don't even necessarily have to take a lot of kickback. I mean, if you look at a lot of the past Derbies when the closers win, they kind of get strung out, and there's like these little groups of horses, and there's these pockets even far back where you can be in the clear, not taking any kickback, even though you're way behind. And, you know, he could get that kind of trip even from the rail. So I think he's interesting if they kind of ignore him because of that post draw and say you can't win from post one, which I think is silly, especially with the new starting gate. Now you don't have the crazy angling out that has to happen to get, you know, out of the gate at the start. Mo Donegal, I think's not far behind Zandon in terms of his chances from a closing standpoint, and he'll be a lot better value, I think, at post time.
I don't trust Mo Donegal. I think there's something a little phony about his form. You know, I've looked at, you know, looked at a couple of rival speed figure purveyors, and they that had him with a real big number in the Wood Memorial, and you know, and we've got him with a 96, which makes him competitive in here. You look though at that field, even with our figure of 96, the top five finishers all earned career best figures in that race, and my partner Mark Hopkins does the figures in New York, and he said it was the hardest day of the year to make figures. You know, just a lot of stuff that didn't make sense. I think that fast time in the wood is a little deceptive. I'm count me a Mo Donegal skeptic.
Right, well, I'm glad you brought that up about the figure, because those New York figures a lot of times are tough, I think, to make, and they don't necessarily translate out in the next race. I've always been a proponent. I wish, since you're on, I might as well bring this up. You know, there was like a confidence level for every figure, and you know, high, medium, and low, or something. Or you could flag, like, you clearly don't have the same level of confidence in the number you've got for Mo Donegal than maybe some of the others. It'd be nice if somehow we knew that, you know, that this is one that
we're
a little bit.
It's hard to, you know, you know, when you're making figures and you love to have a day when, you know, the track looks consistent from start to finish, and you've got a track variant, you know how fast the surface was, and that, you know, and that gives you a solid line on the horses. But if the track changes, and if a track superintendent just says, well, I'm going to run the water truck a couple times around the track and really juice it up for this race, it can throw everything off, and there's not really a way to verify exactly what happened, but it does, you know, when the horses give you a result that just doesn't make sense in line with their previous performances, you know, then, you know, I'm a little skeptical. I can't put a flashing red light, you know, on the number of the form, but there are question marks, and I think Mo Donegal is one. And one way that handicappers can, can examine, issues like this on their own is by using the DRF's formulator. You can call up the records of any race and look at how the horses, the figures that the horses ran in the race in question, and compare it with their previous numbers, and you could see at a glance in Formulator that everybody in that Mo Donegal race improved in that race, and it's just a little coincidental. Too coincidental for my taste, when I see that happen, I just don't believe it, and but I can't prove it's wrong, and I guess we'll find out on Saturday.
Well, I was going to give an odds report, and this is, obviously it's early, but I disagreed with Mike Battaglia making Zandon the 3-1 favorite to begin with. And here's the top five choices. Epicenter and Taba are tied at 5-1. Mo Donegal and Messier are tied at 7-1. And then Zandon is 8-1. So, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't have a horse that's less than 5-1 in this race.
If Mattress Mack wasn't participating, maybe, but he's going to bet the favorite down. He has to because of his promotion. So he's going to knock a point or a point and a half off whatever. So even if the horse is 5-1, when he bets it, it's going to be like 7-2.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
So it's, whoever he plays. If it is Epicenters, and that's probably the most likely. I think Zandon is going to compete with that, but we'll see. Like I said, after the Oaks, we'll have a better idea of the, looking at those will pays on how they're going to be betting the race.
Yeah, I mean, I think Good Magic had a better resume than Zandon, and he went off at 8-1. So,
Justify was in that field.
And Taba's in this field.
Right.
Yeah, but Taba... I think there were a lot fewer question marks about in people's minds about Justify than Taba. And his name on the program, the trainer was Baffert, which I think made a difference as well. One other thing I was going to ask both of you, do you downgrade the Baffert entrance at all because, of the craziness around him and not being able to have his name on the program? Does that change your opinion of Taba or Messier or any other Baffert runners?
I don't know how to read it, but I'm, asked my colleague Jay Privman, if Baffert was kind of lurking in the wings in the training, and he said absolutely. Jay said absolutely not. The tracks made it clear that if Baffert had any contact, with the trainer or the or the horse, that horse would be out of the Derby if they found out. So, I think it's in pretty much in Tim Yakteen's hands. But Baffert had done the training, and they're certainly the Baffert's hands have been on these horses for a long time.
I'd say it's a minor negative. Yeah, I downgrade them a little bit.
Yeah, and also, it's the exact same barn, the same assistant trainer, Jimmy Barnes, who is the one that ships all over with his top horses anyway. He's the same guy that's with him right now in Churchill, all the same grooms. I mean, nothing in the stable changed other than Baffert's name came off the barn. So, I mean, keep that in mind, too. It's the people with their hands on the horse, and the ones that really involved in the day-to-day training of the horse are still all the same.
Any superfecta candidates that you guys plan on using?
No, I'm trying to. If I can get the winner in this race, which would be two consecutive winners for me in the Kentucky Derby and would be unprecedented, I will be so happy. I'm not going to. I'm not going to get any more ambitious than that. But at the at the price that I expect to get on White Barrio, if I'm right, it'll be a good day, and I'm not going to get greedy or squander it by missing out on whoever finishes fourth. So I'm just really going to go back to being a win better for one race in one day.
All right, Chris.
I'm greedy. I like that superfecta is such good value you get on that. I always have to go for it. And the horse that we haven't talked about that should be a decent price, exactly what price remains to be seen, that I like quite a bit, and we talked about it in our early podcast with Maury, is the seven horse Crown Pride, the Japanese horse. I just think this horse, if you want a horse that's got the foundation, this horse has three races at a mile and eighth or farther. He's really bred to get the distance. They train them much differently, much more. They put a lot more mileage on them. So this horse, if any horse has the foundation, it's this horse. He's undefeated at three for three on fast tracks and at a mile and eighth or more. Japanese horses are just killing it everywhere, including the U.S. Gets a great rider. His horse is one around two turns going left-handed on the dirt. He's not, like I said in our other show, most of these UAE Derby horses are really turf horses that are just trying to establish a resume with dirt on them. And they come over here, they haven't been trained for the dirt. They haven't been bred for the dirt. They haven't been targeted for the dirt. They just take a shot. But this is a dirt horse through and through. I think it's just a matter of time before one of these Japanese horses win the Derby. I think this horse, I wouldn't be shocked if he won. He's not a plotter either. He has some tactical speed. For me, I think he's a definite use in the exotics. And like I said, I wouldn't be shocked if he were to win the race. So for me, and he's just the most interesting horse in the race. So there's a lot to like on the seven horse Crown Pride.
You got to pay after what's happened in the last few months in world racing, you got to pay attention to all the Japanese shippers. Now in the case of this horse, we tried to improvise a figure for the UAE Derby, and it wasn't strong enough to consider for me to consider this horse legitimate Kentucky Derby contender. But as you say,
what was your estimate of the number?
93.
Okay, so it wasn't terrible.
But let's say we've tried this before and have been badly wrong on some occasions. So I'm going to stand by that. But what you said is absolutely right. Anytime a Japanese horse shows up in some spot, you just have to give them all a hard look. So.
Well, I have a couple of horses that I'm interested in that I think have a shot. And you guys can comment on these as you please. I thought Charge It, he looks like a talented horse, and he had a bad start in his last. He not only hit the gate, but then he bumped the horse inside of him. He still ran well. He almost won the race. I mean, he wasn't that close, but it was a respectable effort. And I also think out of that race, Simplification, if he decides, his trainer was saying before the race that they didn't need to win the race. They just needed a good race. And I think he finished third. So, I think that he, if he comes from off the pace, which hopefully he can, he has done it before. I think that maybe he's also somebody who can blow up the super.
Certainly could be, although I will point out he's been whupped twice by White Abarba.
And that's why he'll be a price.
So I've got to do this. I got to take a chance at on this one here. The Rich Strike draws into the race. He's 21. He draws in because Ethereal Road scratches. So I got to ask Andy, what do you think Rich Strike's chances are of winning this race, Andy?
He may knock out my last place bet. I mean, that really would make me mad if Tava finished 19th and beats Rich Strike. Wow, there is a horse who doesn't belong in the race.
So you're telling me he has no shot?
No shot.
Chris was waiting for that.
Okay. Well, guys, it's been good. It's been good talking to you. Let's hope that we don't wind up being too badly embarrassed. And regardless of what happens, it's really going to be an interesting race. I'm fascinated to see what Tabe is going to do, and I just have a hunch that some real good horse may emerge from this field.
A lot of intrigue in this race.
Yeah, and it would be really cool if we get to kind of more of an old school Derby with a fast early pace, a little bit of a strung out field. You know, really a true test of going a mile and a quarter. And like you said, in that true test, someone might pass it with flying colors, which is what we're always hoping to see.
All right. Well, that will wrap it up. So I'd like to thank our guest, Andy Beyer. Andy, thanks for taking the time to handicap with us. It was great.
Okay, good. Well, let's have a good day tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Fantastic. That will conclude show number 172 of the Sport of Kings pod. Good luck on the Derby card, and please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
I'll see you on Sport of Kings. Cheers.
Yep.